13, if you got your Bible, Matthew 13 deals with the parables of the Lord and is the kingdom of heaven, principles of God in these scriptures. Tonight, that we look at one verse in Matthew 13 and verse number 33. Matthew 13 and verse number 33. The Bible said, another parable spake he unto them. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And I don't preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on leaven. That's what it's speaking about here. And we find that in the Bible, leaven is a type of evil, a type of sin. Now, I know that when we read these parables, we find that in the church age, in the church kingdom age, that's what I call it, because we are in the church age, that there are some things when we read this that it seems like there's always opposition against what God wants to do. Everything God wants to do amongst His people and amongst His church, there's always opposition. And I find in this scripture here, if you go through the sower and the seed, it was always some kind of opposition against the word. It was the fowls of the air that came, stony ground, the cares of this life. If you go to the wheat and the tares, the wicked one, come sow the tares while good men slept. And we know that the fields of the world and the tares and the wheat are entwined together in that field growing. And he said, don't try to root them up. He said, you'll root the wheat while you try to get the tares. And so he talks about throwing the net and has good fish and bad fish in it. And so anytime we speak here in this in these parables, we realize that there's always an opposition to what God wants to do in this kingdom principle that we find in the truth here that God has set up. We talk about leaven here, and we know that God forbid the Israelites to use leaven. Leaven was a sin. In fact, they judged them if they had any leaven. Amen. And we find here that God, Christ is given this truth here of what a little leaven will do. In fact, in two places in your Bible, it says a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. A little bit gets big. Amen. It starts that little, ends up big. That's the principle of the Bible. Amen. Everything, my friend, that you think is not that big, might not be to you, but it'll end up big. It don't take much for something little to end up big. Amen. Everybody that ever gets in some kind of deep sea and did not do it in an immediate way. It was progressive. It started a little here, a little there, and before you know it, the leaven has corrupted. Now, when I say this, I am talking about leaven that Jesus spoke about. He talked about the leaven of the Pharisees. He said that their leaven was hypocrisy. It's a danger tonight to have hypocrisy. And he said, beware of that leaven of the Pharisees. And Pharisees was hypocrites. Did not Jesus say, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There's no heart in it. And this is a sad commentary of this day that we've got so religious that there's not a lot of passion. There's not a lot of heart. There's not a lot of desires. Thank God to do it the way God said and do. Worship Him. But these men, the Pharisees, were a separatist group that made their own rules. Thank God to fit their own lifestyle. And when you didn't do what they thought you ought to do, then they wanted to condemn you. Amen. But Jesus said they was hypocrites. He called them dead men's bones. And so the leaven of hypocrisy can get in the church. Amen. God help us. The Bible said, lay aside all hypocrisies. We ought not never do anything to make a show or to flatter or our men to look up to us. It ought to always be done from the purity of heart and love
love Jesus the way we ought to, when that leaven of hypocrisy gets in a man, he'll begin to know how to act. He'll know how to talk. He'll know how to play act in the church house. And it becomes a danger, God, friend, to the church. You know, the Bible said in the book of Jude, he said, men crept in unaware. That means that they came within that congregation and they sowed a false doctrine. They denied the Lordship of Christ and they denied His authority. And when you deny His authority, you have no authority. Remember them on that day that man was let down by the bed. And what was them Pharisees? What did they say? They said, who gives this man the authority to forgive sin? And Jesus said, whether it's easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk. And he did tell that man he is forgiven. And he did take up his bed and walk. But the authority, friend, that's the whole thing. When it comes down to a religion and formalism has crept in, and my friend has just ate the church up. I thought the day, God help us, don't be so formal. I realize and know that the Bible says let everything be done decent and in order, and it sure needs to be done that way. What's that mean, preacher? Well, ain't God, it ought to be done according to the Scripture, and it ought to have an order of God in the Word and the worship service. But you can't bottle up God and what He wants to do and just have a form. You know what the word form means? It comes from the word formula, and it also means appearance. And so when we have this appearance, amen, but don't have no substance, then it is no good. That's why he said, you can make a form, but if you don't put semen in the form, you're not going to have nothing. Amen? And you can have a form of a church, but if you have no substance of faith, if you have no substance of salvation, that brings forth, amen, the works and witness of the Holy Ghost, then all you got's a form. That's why he said, beware of that, friend. Beware of the Pharisees, a leaven which is hypocrisy. Hey, friend, tonight it's easy for, ain't God, a man has been in church a while, to learn the words, but have no meaning behind it, amen.
Yeah.
That's right. They thought they was the righteousest people walked on the face of the earth, and they was deceived, and the devil deceived them, amen. And friend, you can have religion, not have God. That's right. How many people have religion today? They know the words, and they know what to say, but they don't have God. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And man, they say they're a believer, but what do they believe? You believe what you do. Amen. A man's not justified by what he says. He's justified by what he does. Amen. I know justification is an act of faith in the Lord Jesus and the finished work of Calvary. But faith brings forth fruit. Amen. There have people been saved, have fruit of salvation. What's that? A changed life. Amen. A new desire. Thank God you don't have the desires of God. How can a man say that he don't desire God? Hey, friend, I'm saying tonight the Holy Ghost brings that in a man's heart. And the only way you got to keep living out of your life is be sensitive to God and not get in that course, my friend, of hypocrisy in our life. Amen.
Amen.
That's right, buddy. There's too much of it today. God help us. We need cleansed of it. Amen. We need to quit thinking we're something when we're nothing. There's a lot of people you can't talk to. You can't tell them nothing. You know why? P-R-I-D-E, pride. Why? You can't teach somebody that thinks they know everything or thinks that they're above teaching. Amen. Education's brought that mindset to some people. That's because they got a degree. You can't tell them nothing. Amen. Because they've been saved so many years, you can't tell them nothing. Amen. Because they've been preaching so many years, you can't tell them nothing. That becomes a pride issue. Amen. Listen, friend, you know why Satan wanted Lucifer at the time on the seat of God? He wanted to be supreme above everybody. Amen. I tell you tonight, friend, we're living in a nation that everybody wants to be above everybody else. much. But thank God Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Consider others above your own self. And the problem with that, friend, is in our day, as men have been taught, thank God, to love your own self instead of loving God and one another. Amen.
Right.
That's right. The Pharisees hated Christ. They hated Him. That's right. They was a legalist. They were legalists. Well, they said that man's eating without washing hands. Look at that man eating. He accused Christ, said, on a Sabbath day, your men's plucking corn. He said, well, I'll tell you something else. Have you not read where David went into the, and got the, thank God, in that place and ate that showbread? Amen. That's right. That was unlawful, but it was needed. Amen. That's right. Buddy, God ain't for breaking the law of God. But buddy, He filled the law. Amen. He is the law. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And He does as He wants to do. He is bound, can I say the word bound, to what He said, because He's not going to break the Scripture. At the same time, He's not bound to our rule. He's not bound to man's rule. Amen. He will act upon what He said. Thank God, and He does what He says He'll do. But the fact of it is, Christ, thank God, is not in a corner. He's in His own place. And He'll act upon what a man does by faith. Amen. That's right, buddy. God help. If there was such a thing as a heavenly eraser that could erase some of the stuff that we've been taught that wasn't right and get it out of our mentality. Because, buddy, I'm telling you, what that does is, you got to agree to this. It don't, a Baptist church, Church of God, whatever denomination it is, most of them have a set run that they do, and that's the way they run it. Amen? And listen, I'm not saying that's all wrong, but I am saying this. When you get so ritualistic, and you get so formalistic, what you have is, you don't have no power, and denying, he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If you deny the workings of God and the working of the Holy Ghost, and you want the form of religion, then your church will be eaten up. Amen. I'm telling you, man's got to deal with sin in his life. What's the principle in this verse I read? The principle is not to let sin, not to let leaven get in your lump. Amen. Because if it does, then it's going to spread. When a man's got sin in his life, it spreads. Amen. That's, no, what's the principle here? The principle is, let's confess it. We operate in a New Testament church in confessing sin. The sacrifice has already been taken care of in the Son of God. The blood's been shed for the atonement. We have forgiveness of sin. Through the blood, the resurrected Christ, thank God, went back to heaven with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And tonight we have forgiveness. What we have to do, thank God, is make confession unto God. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right. Amen. Thank God, you don't have to live in the past.
Right.
Amen. You don't have to live with guilt in your life. Amen. You know why you don't get rid of sin? Because you want it in your life. Amen. That's right, friend. I'm just saying that the leaven. The leaven's a type of sin. And here we find sin ain't got leaven, friend. And that's why He said in the Word of God, the kingdom of heaven, He said, this is happening, friend. And we need to get the leaven out that we might have a pure lump. Amen. That's right. Listen. He said this two times I mentioned. He said, a little leaven let the whole lump. A little hurts you. A little. First time it was dealing with fornication in the church. He's dealing with fornication. That's right. That man was, it was a fornication going on in the Corinthian church. And he said, he'd turn such a one over unto Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved the day of the Lord. That's what Paul said in verse 5. Then in verse 6, he said over there, he said, for a little leaven left the whole lump. He said, this a little sin in a church will end up eventually destroying the church.
Absolutely.
Amen. If you don't deal with it, we got to deal with sin.
Yeah.
We never have revival, we don't deal with sin.
Right.
We don't have the glory on our life, we don't deal with sin.
Right.
Amen. An old Baptist preacher, and I won't mention the church name, he used to have the candlestick in the church. And he made this statement. They got to shouting so much. And he said, every service was a shouted out service. And he told another preacher, a friend of mine, he said, preacher, while we were shouting the victory and enjoying the glory, he said, we was doing it in the flesh a lot of it. And he said, while we were shouting, a sin ate us up. Listen, preachers say a preacher ought not preach against sin. Well, Jesus did. Amen. I mean, you ought to preach against it. He's got to be preached against.
Yes,
amen. I mean, why is a man of God, stand in a pulpit and warn his people about sin? I need warned about sin. We need reminded about sin. And I'm telling you, friend, everything is okay today that God says is not. Amen.
Amen.
Exactly right. That's a fellow yesterday. Has talked to him. He's incarcerated. And I got a chance to talk to him a while. He said he just had a child last year. And I said, are you married? He said, no. I said, why not?
Amen.
Why not?
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm not a faithful man. I said, you telling me you'd rather run a life of sin that ain't no satisfaction in it, than you know it's not right, as to get right with God and marry that woman that you had that child with and raise that child right? He said, preacher, I agree with what you're saying. He said, how do you quit doing it? I said, get right with God.
Yeah.
That's the only way. You've got to have the power of God in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, friend, I'm not trying to be ugly, but there's no satisfaction in sin.
Right.
Yeah. It only's there for a season. He said, there's pleasure. He didn't say joy. He said, there's pleasure.
Yeah.
In other words, this pleases my flesh. But it's for a season. And then when the season's over, I'm looking for something else to please my flesh. There's nothing, no satisfaction to it. Never can satisfy the inward man. And all that woman that's talking about hiding that leaven, putting that leaven in that measure of that meal, and eventually that whole meal's, my friend, fermented and corrupt. Amen. And I guess the way God set it up. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, fornication has ate our land alive. Fornication has ate the young people alive. And you talk about drugs and alcohol, that's involved in it. But I'm telling you one thing, fornication has ate us alive. Amen. It started in the church. People shack up and live outside of the marriage bed and do what they want to do and get up in the choir and smile. I'm telling you, you ain't got a bit of God in you nor conscience to do such a stuff as that. You say, preacher, wait a minute. They're sinners. That's right. They're sinners. They need to repent to God. But I'm telling you what, when it comes down to church business, the church people ought to be the one doing it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You better watch that, buddy. That little leaven left the whole lump. I know I'm talking what I'm talking about. I've let sin get in my heart before, and before you know it, it got bigger than what I wanted to be. Amen. That's right. You know what the flesh tells you? This is the God's truth in my mind. And I don't know about you, and I'd say you're the same way. But you know, when you start out with a little sin, you know what you say? A little won't hurt me. A little drink won't hurt me. A little smoke won't hurt me. A little messing around won't hurt me. You're deceiving yourself to think that. I am too, friend. Amen. People justify by what you can justify anything you do in your own mind, but it don't justify it for God. That's why we've got to repent. A little leaven gets in the church. A little leaven gets in a man's heart. A little leaven gets in a man's home. And before you know it, it's destroyed.
Right.
What was the other one? Little leaven. Galatians 5. What was it about? It was about Judaizers bringing legalism in amongst the grace of God. And he said, you're letting this little old leaven of false doctrine corrupt your church. Amen. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Every man that preaches is going to have some difference. But he'll believe the truth, brother, the same way. He'll believe this is the inspired Word of God. He'll believe that the Christ of glory was virgin born and God used a virgin woman. Listen to me, I'm tired of this world. I'm not of this world. I don't watch filth that promotes my friend. It speaks evil of who the Virgin Mary was, and these people in Hollywood's out of hell, and they don't know how to produce a movie. I'm telling you, people say, "Oh, that made me feel so good." Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I don't go to movies and watch such stuff as that. I got a Bible, son. God didn't tell. He said, "Faith comes by hearing, and it don't come by watching some movie some Hollywood producer come through with."
Right.
I'd rather watch Tom and Jerry, praise God. Watching no movie like that. And you know what people say? And I've heard them say, "Didn't you watch The Passion of Christ?" I said, "Praise God, I have The Passion of Christ."
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to watch it. I've got it, praise God. Somebody said, "Didn't you watch that good movie?" No, I said, "No, I read about him in Genesis 6, and there no Hollywood producer can portray Noah the way the Bible said, because he told them all there's a lost and going to hell, and the judgment of God was going to fall because he's a preacher of righteousness."
Amen.
Amen. I'm not picking fights. Praise God. If you want to watch it, go ahead. I'm just preaching against it and still will if you do watch it.
Yeah.
Say, "Well, I'll do it anyway," but do it.
Yeah.
I just don't think Hollywood can produce anything that'd be pleasing to God.
Yeah. Right.
A little old leaven, a false doctrine, get in the church. I believe in the virgin birth, and people that make a mockery of virginity are reprobate minded. God said chasteness.
Yes, sir.
That's the way a girl and boy ought to marry.
Yeah.
God help us in the minority in this day. You know why? Because we promoted it. Praise God. If a man, and I say this, my children's married, but I say this, and I used to preach a lot of stuff that didn't come to pass. Hey, man, I used to preach, "Praise God, we need to pick out the spouse."
Yeah.
No, that don't work, son. I'm not marrying them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's just big talk. Now, I will say this. When two young people know the will of God for their life and know that this is the one for me, and they graduate high school, why in the world should they sit there burning in lust one toward another and not get married? You answer me that one. The only reason they ought not to is if they're not responsible and they don't have no money and they don't have some responsibility to take care of that wife they're marrying.
Yeah, right.
I know, buddy, I've been called all kinds of names over that, but I'm telling you what, you send them off to college and you send them everywhere else they want to go, and before you know it, you just keep playing with fire and you'll get burned.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, that's right, buddy. They didn't say nothing about that about 50 years ago when they done it. And I'll tell you what, the first thing you better know is the will of God.
Yeah.
You say, "What's the most important thing in a marriage?" The will of God.
Yeah.
And then you really love them if it's the will of God. And you know this is God's mate for your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And you're willing to work, sir. And man, you're willing to be a helper to him. Amen.
Yeah.
And if you ain't willing to, if he ain't willing to work, don't marry him.
Amen.
It's exactly right. He's a low down, no good for nothing, wants to lay at the house all the time and not do anything. As my mama said, you wouldn't hit a tap at a snake, then they ought not marry him.
Yeah, right.
And if she don't have a spirit of humility and submission, and I'm not talking about bowing down and kissing his feet, I'm talking about respecting him and reverencing him, then I'm going to tell you what, you might get a spark plug got to go foul. Ain't that right, Brother Dennis? You know about them spark plugs. You got to be tuned up. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. You can take it or leave it. It don't matter to me. That's the way I believe it. You're not going to change me on it because I got a book on it.
Right.
He said it's better to marry than to burn.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Amen. And that wasn't talking about going shacking up for 6 months and saying, "Well, I guess I need to marry her." Don't even come in here or something that stupid.
Right.
What they want is, oh, preacher, we want you to take care of this and kindly make us look good. That's just like at a funeral when people live like hell all their life. They want the preacher to get up and, come on, make it look good. I'm going to tell you what. No, you praise God, you die the way you live.
Amen. Right.
If you die a crook, if you live the crook, you'll die a crook. I can sit up and say, boy, I tell you, I like that old crook, but I tell you what, he ain't in heaven. If I got up and said that, son, I need a secret service. Donald Trump's got to come around me. That's right. If I got up in a congregation of people and said to that family of that man that died, that lived a wicked life, and I got up and said, that man is living wicked, and he went to hell, as far as his testimony, why, son, I'm going to tell you what, they'd be wanting to whoop me, shoot me, and everything else because I told them the truth.
Yes, sir. They sure will.
Oh, Brother Gene Mathias, and you know how he is, and I can't be Gene Mathias because God didn't make me Gene. He went down to Alabama, Mississippi, was preaching a funeral. Brother Milby was in there preaching a Bible. He thought he'd go over because they knew the fella passed away, and some of the pallbearers, they didn't look right. And Gene said something to him. Said, you ought to have better respect and carry this man to the graveyard looking the way y'all do.
Yeah.
Son, after the funeral, they wanted to fight him. Brother Milby went over there and stood beside of him. He said, I went over and stood beside of him. I'd have stood with him. People don't want the truth no more.
That's right.
Long as everything sounds good to them, hey, friend, I'll tell you what, I get my hide busted. It don't take much to bust my hide. But I'm telling you what, you never will get no healing until you get afflicted first.
Amen.
There's too much leaven in the church in the day we're living in, and we wonder why there's no power of God.
Amen. Right.
Never one of us guilty. Old Herod, too, I'm going to tell you, he had that leaven. He talked about the leaven of. And the thing about it is, his leaven wasn't nothing but materialism, possessions, worldliness. You know, I read this afternoon. It said he overwhelmed his people with his displays. But you know what? It ended his empire. A little bit here and a little bit there. That's the way it is in the church. A little bit of gossip here. Did you hear about so and so? Now I'm going to tell you how you can stop gossip. I'm going to tell you how you can stop it. Say no, but let's go see so and so and see what goes on. If somebody comes to you and says, did you hear about Preacher Hyde? Say no, stop it right there. Let's go talk about what you're saying to Preacher Hyde.
Right.
Stop it. Now they'll come to me and I'll look at them and say, they're telling the truth or you're telling a lie. Or I'll tell them it ain't none of their business. But gossip can be stopped. It talked about, it even talked about how you looked at somebody when they was talking to you like that. Amen. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit of that. You know, it gets in the church. Listen, friend. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I ain't never known a church to separate over somebody smoking a cigarette. But I've seen churches split right down the middle because the leaven of gossip got into church.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now I'll say one thing tonight. I'm not the owner of this church. I'm the pastor of this church.
Yeah, right.
And I love this church. Okay? And this, can I say it in a carnal way? This is my team.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my team.
Right.
Amen.
And don't talk about my
team. That's right. And you know what old Brother Milby said? He said, they might be Green County heathens, but I'm the only one to talk about them. Amen. And the thing of it is, friend, I'm just telling you tonight, when that little bit of gossip gets in a church, it can tear a church up. And I'm telling you, my friend, the telephone is a good thing, but there's a lot of people, all they want to hear on the other end is what everybody's doing.
Amen.
Well,
that's a fact.
What did this man do? What did that woman do? I tell you what some churches are, and it ain't going to be here. I'll kick it into hell. It's nothing but a modern-day church soap opera.
Yeah.
Drama all the time.
Yeah.
They couldn't live without some kind of old drama around them. Drama queens and drama kings and got to be in the spotlight. Amen. What is that, preacher? That's a little bit of that old leaven getting in a church and corrupting it, and before you know it, it's destroyed.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. False teaching getting in the church.
Yeah.
sir.
You can get in the church, false teaching. You can get in the, hey, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. You can ride a horse so much it'll die, son. There's some men, they'll get up, they're going to preach on the same thing every time. There's an old fellow that preached for me, and I don't say it in a bad way. He was a holiness preacher. His last name was Tolbert. He's in the grave now. He used to preach on Saturday morning for me. He preached the same message every time. He preached about women wearing makeup and different things, short pants, stuff like that. Every time, that's all he preached. Every service, that's what he preached. Every time. Hey, I mean, once in a while, go ahead and hit it if you want to. But you can ride a horse so much, it's going to die, son. I mean, it ain't nothing but a hobby horse anyway.
Yeah.
What kind of feeding is that? You can go up to a mannequin and tell them that, and they wouldn't do it neither. But he ain't going to do nothing. Amen. There's more Bible, praise God, and preaching against things that's your preference. Amen. There needs to be some meat on the bone. I'm telling you what happens in a church a lot of times. Men get a little hobby horse, and that's all they'll ride out. And before you know it, it just spreads. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Any kind of rules that I put on you, it'll produce you to be a Pharisee. That's God, we're the only one right. Well, I know that's right. Well, I'm from this Baptist church. They don't know nothing. You know what that is? That's self-righteousness. If I can put myself up here and keep somebody down here, that makes me look better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
God's teaching me a little bit, folks. I'm still dogmatic on what dogmatic I'm on. Amen. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I got a little sense now. And I'll tell you what, leaven to get in your church, somebody will say some kind of old thing off the wall, and boy, people catch on to it. I was watching a little old commentary this afternoon about Jim Jones. Y'all remember him at poisoning them people?
Yep.
God help, how can be somebody that dumb? I mean, to follow a man drank Kool-Aid had cyanide in it. And he set it up the whole time. You know why? Because they followed, it was no scripture. I mean, it's just fallen man. Amen. Some people would follow man into hell. They'd follow him into hell. They'd be more loyal to a man than they will Jesus. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, you say something about the Lord and they get a little man, you say something about their little hero and some men want to knock your teeth out.
Oh, yeah.
God help. I tell you why. Because he's given them something new to think about. And he's such a hero now. And what we've done in the Baptist church is we've sowed discord amongst the people through false doctrine. And now them Galatians is all confused over there in their own mind. And Paul said, who had bewitched you? Who's fascinated you to believe a lie? Right. Let me tell you something. You're either saved by grace and kept by grace or you're not saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
There ain't no such a thing as a man saved by works. No, sir.
No.
Amen. There ain't a work a man could do to please the Father.
No,
the work's been done on Calvary by Jesus, and that's the only thing to please the Father. Amen. But you get a little old leaven in, people say, well, you got to do that to go to heaven. If you hadn't been reading your Bible over the last week, you'd probably go into hell. That's heresy. Boy, we got a lot of Baptists going to hell. That'd be true.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man not saved because he reads his Bible. He wants to read it because he is. But that God didn't tell a man that that'd keep him saved. That thank God that'd keep him healthy in the spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Little leaven. That's a little bit of leaven. Get in the church and it'll kill a church. And that's what he's saying right there. The kingdom will not work until the leaven's out.
Yeah.
Must be confessed. The kingdom of God and the heaven operates on confession of sin and cleansing and being honest with God. And the leaven that gets in, a little by little, what it does, it builds in your heart and my heart and ends up destroying us. Bitterness, jealousy, envy, hatred. It gets in a little bit at a time. I fight them things, don't you? I fight them. I fight them sometimes. It's just a warfare, man. But you got to keep it out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You got to keep it out. You got to sweep your own house.
Yes, sir.
Do not go to nobody else and try to sweep their house. You sweep your own house.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I remember Brother Jerry Whitehart said this after I got saved, and I heard him on the radio. He preached that gospel light at the time. And this is what he said. He said, sweep your own house and use the old broom. He said, don't use the new broom, use the old broom, because the old one knows where it's always swept and knows where the dirt is.
Yeah.
I like the old broom, the old path, praise God.
Yes.
Amen. You know, you say, what do I need to do? Humble myself and repent.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Every man's got to do it. I mean, if you're gonna have a clean heart and a clean house and a clean church, and the church people's got to see the fact that there's a little bit here and a little bit there, my friend, destroys what God's building up. And let me say this, and I mean it. I'm finished. A fella come to me one day and he had done something that he ought not done, and it was against the church. And he said, preacher, I had to do it. And this is what I said to him. God's doing my witness. Me and him was just standing there, and this is what I said. I said, what about the glory of God? What about the glory of God? Huh? What about the glory of God? I think that's what we need to consider more than anything, the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in Ascalon. Don't tell it in Gath. Friend, I don't want to go tell what kind of downfall the church has. I don't want to publish that.
Yeah.
Don't tell it. It don't bring no glory to God. Amen. A little leaven left the whole lump. Amen. A little old bad attitude down at the family table, it'll corrupt the whole meal. Amen. God help us. May the Lord use His Word tonight to encourage our heart to look at our own self and keep the leaven out. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Appreciate you hearing the Word of God. Brother Dan.